Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Have you ever imagined finding out that your brother, who you thought was dead, is not only alive, but like deep in the criminal underworld, and then his daughter gets kidnapped?
Wow.
That's the kind of high-stakes scenario we're diving into today with this intense thriller.
Yeah.
So if you love unraveling mysteries and you're fascinated by family secrets and loyalty and betrayal, then make sure to like and subscribe because we're about to go deep.
Absolutely.
We've been absorbed in Rachel Abbott's Whatever It Takes. You can find the Amazon link in the description.
Yes.
This book is not just a page-turner. It explores the moral dilemmas people face when they have to make really tough choices, and the lines between right and wrong just completely blur.
You said it.
We're going to see just how far a man will go to protect his family, even if it means going back to a life he thought he'd escaped. And the twists and turns, oh, be prepared for some unexpected alliances and betrayals along the way.
The listener definitely set us up with some seriously intense excerpts to kick things off. Right from the start, we see Tom's deep worry about his brother Jack, who we find out faked his own death years ago.
Right.
What really struck you about Jack's reasons for doing something so drastic?
I mean, it's definitely not a decision anyone makes lightly,
Yeah.
right? He was backed into a corner facing an impossible choice.
Totally.
This powerful, organized crime group basically gave him an ultimatum.
Right.
Do what we say, or your family pays the price, kind of thing.
Heavy stuff.
So Jack felt he had no other option but to stage his own death in this elaborate speedboat accident,
It's
like
wild.
wiping yourself off the map.
And years go by, and then Tom suddenly discovers Jack is alive.
Yeah.
Talk about an emotional roller coaster ride.
Huge relief, but also still living under this cloud of fear, you know, because the danger hasn't completely gone away.
Definitely. Even though some key figures in that criminal world are gone,
Right.
Jack is still a target. And this whole situation makes for this constant tension, like a low hum of anxiety that just won't quit.
It's palpable. And the way they communicate
Oh,
through
yeah.
these cryptic messages on Tom's hacked laptop.
Yeah, like something out of a spy movie?
It is. It shows how resourceful Jack is, but also how precarious their lives are.
Definitely. But this whole carefully constructed world of secrecy starts to unravel when Tom's ex-wife Kate comes back into the picture.
And it doesn't end well.
None at all.
We find out Kate has been telling people that Jack's death was all a big fake.
Right.
And then, bam, Tom gets shot.
It's a huge turning point in the
You
story.
can't help but connect the two events,
Right.
right? And Tom is left wrestling with guilt, wishing he'd pushed Kate harder about who she'd told.
It's understandable.
He even convinces Louisa to do this super awkward thing,
Yeah.
like going around asking Kate's friends if they have any shady underworld connections.
He's just like a long shot.
It is, but he's desperate.
For sure.
He needs answers. He needs to understand why he was targeted and how it connects back to Jack.
It makes you think about how Jack's past continues to have these dangerous ripple effects.
Yeah.
Like, how many people could still hold a grudge or see him as a threat even after all these years?
With a ghost that won't go away.
Totally. Now, Louisa, ever the voice of reason, offers a different perspective.
Right.
She wonders if Jack has actually gone off the grid again, or if he's just reverted to his old habits of being extra cautious,
Right.
maybe even sticking more closely to his original plan for staying hidden.
It's a good point. Jack is the master of disappearing, right? He's got the skills and the mindset.
Absolutely.
But there's this nagging feeling that Tom has, this instinct that Jack's silence after the shooting is different, more alarming.
Right. It's not just about lying low.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what do you think is driving that instinct?
That's a great question.
I think it comes down to their brotherly bond. Even after years of separation and secrets,
Yeah.
Tom probably has a deep understanding of Jack's character and how he operates.
That makes sense.
For Jack to go radio silent after something so serious happens to Tom.
Yeah.
Just doesn't add up. It makes you think something must have happened to Jack, something that's preventing him from reaching out.
That's a chilling thought.
Right. And then there's this other possibility that's hanging over everything.
Okay.
What if Claire and the kids, Jack's family, have gone completely off-grid and are totally unaware of the shooting?
That adds a whole other layer of worry.
We know Jack was planning to move them somewhere safer.
Right.
So maybe they're out there, completely oblivious to this chaos. It leaves Tom in this terrible state of not knowing which scenario is worse.
That's a tough spot to be in. So, with so little to go on, Tom decides to try and connect with Jack's daughter Ava, hoping she might unknowingly provide some clues.
Right.
And we learn that Ava has had this really unusual and frankly traumatic upbringing. Kidnapped at 6, she was raised within a criminal family. What were your thoughts on Tom and Lucy's conversation about Ava's past?
It was a powerful scene. Lucy, Tom's daughter, shows a lot of empathy for Ava, even acknowledging how messed up her childhood was.
It's impressive, given the circumstances.
Lucy understands that Ava was essentially forced into this life, surrounded by criminals.
Right.
Tom tries to find a glimmer of hope, suggesting maybe there were other kids in the house and maybe they formed bonds.
Yeah.
But Lucy's response is really insightful.
What did she say?
She basically says that no matter what, it was still a crappy childhood. It just highlights how complicated Ava's situation is, how resilient she must be, but also the deep scars she probably carries. And it makes you wonder how all that she's been through might be affecting how she's coping with this current situation.
It's a great point. And it's Lucy's empathy that leads her to offer a really practical form of help.
Right.
She volunteers to go through her WhatsApp chats with Ava, filtering out all the typical teenage stuff to see if there are any details that might hint at their location.
Smart.
Like photos, school gossip, anything specific.
Yeah.
It's like this really modern, tech-savvy way of using their digital connection to try and find a real-world lead.
It's impressive how she thinks outside the box.
Definitely. Meanwhile, Luisa's attempts to get information out of Kate go absolutely nowhere.
Oh, tell me about it. It was like pulling teeth.
What happened?
When Luisa tries to get anything out of Kate about Jack, it's just this wall of negativity and hostility. You can feel the resentment just oozing out of her, especially over Jack's fake death and the pain it caused Tom.
The tension is thick enough to cut with a knife.
Right. And she even uses air quotes when she says killed, which is just dripping with sarcasm. It's clear she wants nothing to do with this, and it highlights how broken the relationships are because of Jack's past.
It's a good reminder that Jack's choices have had lasting consequences for everyone around him. But thankfully, Lucy's more tech-savvy approach actually yields results.
Doesn't it?
What were some of the key details that she was able to piece together?
You wouldn't believe it. It's classic teenage complaining that cracks the case wide open.
Seriously?
Yeah. Lucy finds a message where Ava's moaning about her dad. Typical teenager stuff, right?
Yeah.
But within that, they managed to pinpoint a village in Snowdonia called Bedgellert.
Okay.
They even cross-reference a pub name mentioned in the chat with actual pubs in Bedgellert.
Wow.
And they get a match. And based on Ava's age and stuff from the chat, they figure out she probably went to a school in that area that didn't require Welsh language instruction and had a sixth form.
That's pretty specific.
Very specific. And it gives Tom a starting point for his search. He can actually start looking for schools in North Wales.
That's a huge turning point.
Huge. They finally have a solid lead in this whole confusing mess.
Definitely. But this discovery, as encouraging as it is, also intensifies Tom's underlying fear.
Right.
He's convinced that something truly awful has happened to Jack. Something far worse than the usual dangers associated with his past.
It's like his intuition is screaming at him.
Yeah, what do you think is feeding this intense premonition?
I think it's the culmination of everything that's happened. Kate's revelation, Tom getting shot, the silence from Jack and his family. Instead of bringing relief, finding this connection to Bedgellert seems to solidify Tom's worst fears.
It makes sense.
It confirms that they were trying to build this new life, a safe haven.
Right.
And the fact that they vanished from there just screams danger, like a whole other level of threat has emerged. He tells Becky about this gut feeling he has, this sense of impending doom that he can't shake off.
It's like a weight on his chest.
Totally. And then we get this brief, almost dreamlike glimpse from another perspective. There's a mention of an engagement ring and 5 years of hiding.
Intriguing.
It hints at a deep longing, maybe a forced separation, which adds another layer of worry to the whole thing.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if this disappearance was voluntary at all. And it pushes Tom to head to that farmhouse in Wales,
yeah,
driven by this fear that the silence isn't just strange, it's a sign of something catastrophic.
It's like he's racing against time. And the scene that greets him at the farmhouse, well, let's just say it's not reassuring.
It's chilling.
Before he even gets there, Becky shares some crucial information that sets a very ominous tone.
It does.
What does she tell him?
Becky tells him that two schools have reported kids missing from the same family, Jack's kids. What's even more concerning is that North Wales police were initially on the case.
Okay.
But they were told to back off because Greater Manchester Police, under the command of DCI Robinson, who was Becky, of course, are already investigating.
So this is a big deal.
Huge. It means this isn't just a simple missing persons case. This is something much bigger, something that's got the attention of higher ups.
And when Tom arrives at the farmhouse, this supposed sanctuary,
Yeah.
what does he find?
It's like stepping into a ghost town. The house is completely deserted, no signs of life whatsoever.
Spooky.
And there's this vase of dead flowers, a small detail, but so powerful, right? It tells you they've been gone for a while.
Definitely.
And then Tom finds the front door unlocked.
That's strange.
It throws him off immediately. Who would leave their door unlocked in a place like this?
Yeah.
As he cautiously goes through the house, it's clear that people were living there recently. Their stuff is still around,
Okay.
but they're not.
And then he finds Jack's study.
His command center, as he calls it.
Right. You're
Yeah.
packed with all this sophisticated technology.
Multiple monitors, specialized keyboards, the whole works.
It's a stark reminder that Jack is still very much entangled in this world that demands that kind of equipment.
It's a bit unsettling, right?
Definitely. It makes you wonder what he was really up to there. And this discovery leads us to the introduction of Philippa and Tom's subsequent investigation into Blate Securities.
Yeah, Philip is definitely keeping tabs on Tom, watching his every move.
What's her initial stance on his involvement in all of this?
Philip is not happy. She makes it clear to Becky that her loyalty should lie with the police force, not with Tom.
Ouch.
There's this underlying tension, this suspicion that Tom is stepping into dangerous territory.
It's clear she doesn't approve.
But then, when Tom needs to get into the business center where Blake Securities is located, Philippa is the one who gives him the clearance information.
That's unexpected.
It makes you wonder about her motives.
Definitely. Is she trying to control the situation, or does she have her own agenda? We'll have to see. And it's at Blake Securities that Tom stumbles upon a crucial connection, revealing the true owner of the company.
It's a real aha.
What does he discover? What leads him to this realization?
The name Ethan Blake triggers something in Tom's memory.
Okay.
He remembers that Guy Bentley, the man who forced Jack into the criminal underworld, had a real first name, Ethan.
Ah, and Blake was Jack's undercover alias?
Exactly, a name that only a handful of people knew. So Blake Securities isn't just some random front company.
Is Jack's.
It's Jack's. This confirms that he hasn't truly escaped that world.
It seems he's in deeper than ever.
And then Tom notices something else. There's music playing on a loop in the otherwise empty office.
That's strange.
He remembers a conversation he had with Jack about leaving musical clues.
Ah, like a secret code.
And he finds access codes, gets inside.
It all starts to come together.
It does. He realizes this is Jack's way of communicating.
It's pretty clever.
But the office itself doesn't offer any immediate answers about Jack's whereabouts or Ava's disappearance. What does he find inside? The office itself seems deserted. It's worth noting that throughout this whole ordeal, Louisa is incredibly worried about Tom.
Of course.
She cares about him
He
deeply.
does.
When Tom takes a closer look at the computer in Jack's office, he finds recent browsing history that's completely out of character for Jack.
Like what?
Things like Premier League football news and articles from the Sun newspaper. Definitely not Jack's style.
That suggests someone else has been using the computer.
Right. And it's probably not Jack.
So another dead end.
It feels that way.
Yeah.
At this point, Tom decides to take a gamble. He plants details about a fake trip to Venice on his laptop.
Risky move.
He's hoping that if Jack is still monitoring his online activity, he'll pick up on it and make contact.
That's a long shot. It depends on whether Jack is watching and if he interprets the information correctly.
Totally.
Yeah.
But at this point, he's willing to try anything.
I get it. And of course, Philippa, with her own surveillance operation, notices Tom's sudden interest in Venice.
Right.
What are her thoughts about this?
She's definitely suspicious. She's already on edge because the whole family has vanished.
Understandably.
She point blank asks Tom if he thinks they're all in Venice.
Oh boy.
How does he respond?
Tom has to play it cool. He admits he has no idea, but speculates that if Jack is traveling, he'd be using a different alias, one that Tom doesn't know.
Makes sense.
And that he'd probably be traveling separately from Claire and the kids for safety reasons.
That's smart, given the circumstances.
It highlights just how complex Jack's life
And
is,
how difficult it is to track him down.
even for his own brother.
Yeah.
Now, amazingly, Tom's risky gamble actually pays off.
He manages to connect with Jack in
He
Venice.
does. The moment Tom arrives in Venice, it feels like he's walking into a prearranged scenario.
Oh, how so?
The water taxi driver acts like he's expecting Tom and hands him a sealed parcel.
Okay.
And when Tom gets to his hotel room, the door's unlocked, and guess who's waiting for him?
Jack.
Jack. It has to be a huge mix of emotions relief at seeing his brother alive.
But also intense anxiety about what this clandestine meeting means.
I can imagine. And that relief quickly turns to dread when Jack drops a bombshell. Ava's been kidnapped.
It's a devastating blow.
So after this tense reunion, Jack starts filling Tom in on what's happened.
He does.
What does he reveal about the circumstances surrounding Ava's abduction?
Jack wants to reassure Tom that Ava's kidnapping isn't a direct result of Kate blabbing about his survival or anything to do with Ava's past identity.
Okay.
He admits that the online chatter he'd mentioned before was a lie, a way to test things out, maybe.
Interesting.
The truth is they went dark because Ava had already been taken. He explains that he didn't tell Tom everything right away because he didn't want to involve the police before he knew who was behind it or what they wanted.
That's a tough call.
He was terrified that any wrong move would put Ava in more danger.
It makes you think about the burden of that decision.
It's huge.
Keeping his own brother in the dark while his daughter's missing.
It's a testament to how much he trusts Tom and how desperate the situation must be.
Absolutely. So what were the kidnappers' motives? What did they want from Jack?
Jack explains that he's been building a legitimate front company in Wales, a high-end security systems company.
A smart move.
But he's convinced this kidnapping isn't just about money. They want something specific from him. He shows Tom a photo of Ava in captivity. And based on the details, old, thin, maybe damp brick walls, his gut tells him she's being held somewhere in Venice.
Chilling.
And he brings up Ava's horrific past with a man named Rory Slater.
Oh, yeah, the one who used to lock her in a dark hole called the Pit.
Exactly. It's a disturbing parallel to her current situation, right?
Definitely.
It makes you wonder if the kidnappers are using this as a psychological tactic, like a trigger.
To break her down?
Yeah.
So what is it they want Jack to do?
They want him to steal a valuable abstract painting, Serenata Selvaggi, by Orlando Ricci, worth around $3 million from a private collection in Venice.
Wow. High stakes.
The theft is supposed to happen during a private showing and masked reception at the owner's palazzo.
And what about involving the police? Why is Jack so adamant about not going to the authorities?
This is where Jack's past in the criminal world comes into play. He knows how ruthless the mafia can be, how little regard they have for human life.
It's terrifying.
Especially the life of a teenage girl who's become a liability. He believes that going to the police or the Carabinieri would be a death sentence for Ava.
So he's operating under the rules of that world.
He has to. Trust is non-existent, and self-preservation is everything. He believes going to the authorities is the fastest way to get Ava killed.
It's a chilling assessment of the situation. And what about Ava? What is her experience like as a captive?
It's bleak, truly bleak. Mm-hmm. Imagine being trapped in a small, dark, musty room with no windows, totally cut off from the world.
Horrible.
Her only sense of time comes from the irregular meals, the faint sounds she can sometimes hear.
What kinds of sounds?
A rhythmic hum, footsteps, the distant noise of a boat engine. And the air is damp, earthy, sometimes with a hint of salt.
It paints a vivid picture of her confinement.
And she's lost all track of time. At first, she was consumed by terror.
Understandable.
But now it's like a numbness has set in.
A coping mechanism.
To deal with the unimaginable stress.
It's heartbreaking. There's also a flashback to just 15 days before the kidnapping.
Right.
What do we learn from that?
It shows Ava's awareness of how worried her father is about her safety.
Of course.
And the constant fear that someone might recognize her from her past.
Because of who she was before.
Right. It shows how Jack and Claire were struggling to find a balance between giving Ava a somewhat normal life and keeping her safe from their enemies.
An impossible situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jack explains to Tom the details of how Ava was abducted and how he ended up in Venice.
Right. He takes Tom through it, step by step.
What happened?
He describes the moment he realized something was wrong.
Mm.
Ava was late meeting him, which was unusual.
Oh.
He used his tech skills to track her phone to the station car park, where he found it just lying on the ground. And then he gets this chilling call. They tell him Ava's been taken and that he needs to go to Venice immediately because of his security client there.
He knew right away that his work at the Palazzo was connected.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, Tom has a super careful conversation with Louisa back in the UK.
Right.
He hints that he's been in touch with Jack, but doesn't reveal too much.
He's trying to protect her.
Yeah. And then he gets a coded message from Jack. A time, 10 a.m., and the instruction to take usual precautions to see if he's being followed in Venice.
It's all very cloak and dagger.
It is. It's like they're in a spy movie.
Now that Tom is in Venice and the stakes are so high, the focus shifts to Jack's plan to steal the painting.
Yeah.
What's his plan?
Jack's plan hinges on his deep knowledge of the Palazzo's security system, which he installed himself.
So he knows all the ins and outs.
He does. He's the only one who knows how to completely bypass it.
And how does he plan to actually get the painting with all the surveillance?
He's going to hack into the camera feeds and loop pre-recorded footage of the gallery being empty while they're actually removing the painting.
That's risky.
Super risky. Tom immediately voices his concerns about the timing and all the things that could go wrong.
It's a high-pressure situation, to say the least.
It is. And then Tom makes the decision to bring Becky into the loop, at least partially.
He trusts her.
He does. He calls Becky and tells her that Ava's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
He doesn't give her all the details, but he stresses that Jack wouldn't be in Vettis for no reason.
That makes sense.
And that Ava's disappearance is definitely not random.
Becky must be worried. Sick.
She is. She's still shaken up from when Tom was shot.
Yeah, of course.
She expresses her concern for Tom's safety and tries to understand what's going on.
Her loyalty is torn between Tom and her duty as a police officer.
A tough spot for her.
And this is where Tia Rukavina comes into play more directly.
Yeah, she becomes a key player.
What do Tom and Jack observe about her that raises their suspicions?
Tom spots a woman, Tia Rukavina, and Jack immediately flags her as someone to watch out for, like a potential threat to their plans.
What makes them so wary of her?
Jack reveals that Tia used to work for the NCA and the SFO.
Wow.
She was a forensic accountant investigating money laundering within Guy Bentley's organization.
So there's a direct link to Jack's past.
There is. And she disappeared online 5 years ago, but now she's resurfaced in Venice under the alias Elena Ferraro.
Okay, that's suspicious.
Jack's gut feeling is that she's working undercover and might be close to exposing the very people who are holding Ava.
That could put Ava in even more danger.
Exactly. And meanwhile, back in the UK, Becky is making her own inquiries. And Philip is also digging into things.
Right.
What do they uncover? Becky tells Philippa everything she knows about the missing family and what Tom's been asking.
Oh, okay.
Philippa confirms that the schools are concerned and that North Wales police are aware of the situation, but she's not happy with Becky's loyalty to Tom.
There's that tension again.
Definitely. But despite that, Becky manages to get a key piece of information. The name of an Albanian man whose fingerprints were found on a petrol can cap connected to Claire's disappearance.
That suggests a wider criminal network.
It does. It goes beyond local Manchester gangs. And Philippa starts her own investigation into Tia Rukavina.
Smart.
She uses her NCA contacts to figure out why Tia vanished from the records.
So everyone's working on different angles of this mystery.
Exactly.
Back in Venice, Ava's ordeal continues, but there's a slight but potentially significant change in her captivity.
What happens? Ava tries a new tactic with one of her captors, the big guy.
What does she do?
She tries to appeal to his humanity, hoping he might show her some kindness.
It's a long shot.
But it's worth a try. And then something unexpected happens.
How is it?
She hears a woman voice speaking English and another language she doesn't recognize.
That's new.
It's the first time she's heard a female voice since being kidnapped.
It could be a clue about who's involved and their motives.
Right. It's a small detail, but it could be important.
Definitely. This new element prompts Tom and Jack to think more about the Albanian connection and how it ties into the heist.
Yeah, they start piecing things together.
What do they come up with?
Philippa tells Tom about the Albanian fingerprints.
Okay.
This guy is known to Manchester police, but not to the Italians, which suggests a fixer is involved, someone connecting different criminal groups.
That makes sense.
Jack and Tom realize that Renzo Moretti, the guy who hired Jack, probably doesn't have direct ties to the Albanian mafia.
So he's using an intermediary.
Exactly. And it makes you question Renzo's true intentions.
Definitely. And they have to face the reality of what might happen after the painting is stolen.
Yeah, the potential fallout.
They're hoping for Ava's safe return and the safety of Jack's family, but there's also the D'Angelo family, the owners of the painting, to consider.
That's a huge risk, and they're walking a tightrope.
Absolutely. Now, Becky continues to be a vital source of information from the UK.
Right. She's Tom's lifeline back home.
What updates does she provide that are relevant to the situation in Venice?
Becky tells Tom that she's spoken to Philippa and emphasizes the need to get North Wales police more involved.
She's right.
Only a few people in law enforcement know the whole story about Jack's past as an informant, so it's important to get everyone on the same page.
It's a matter of coordination and making sure everyone's working together effectively.
Exactly. And Becky brings up the possibility of witness protection for Jack.
Oh, right, after Guy Bentley's death.
Yeah, but as Tom predicted, Jack is totally against it.
He hates the idea of being controlled.
He does. And while all this is happening, Tom is focused on getting ready for the mass reception at the Palazzo.
He needs to blend in.
He does. He's on the hunt for the right attire, black, high, and all.
It's all about appearances in that world.
Absolutely. And then Tom has this direct and revealing encounter with Tia Rukavina.
What happens?
Tom sees Tia at a bar talking to Renzo Moretti.
Okay.
And Jack, observing them, mm-hmm. confirms that Tia's supposed role as an insurance risk assessor is just a cover to get into the gallery and scope out the security.
It was all a ruse.
Yeah, a very clever one. Jack's convinced that Moretti must have an accomplice for the actual theft. Someone with the right skills.
Someone like Tia.
Exactly. She thinks she's been infiltrating Moretti's operation for the past 5 years.
That's a long con.
It is. And it makes you wonder about her true motives. Is she after the painting? Working for someone else? Or is she deep undercover, which could actually help Ava?
It's a tangled web of possibilities. Thankfully, we get a glimpse into Tia's thoughts and what she's really after.
It's an important piece of the puzzle.
What does her internal monologue reveal?
It turns out she's infiltrated Moretti's inner circle, just as Jack suspected.
Wow.
She despises people like him, but also gets a thrill from the high-stakes game she's playing.
A dangerous combination.
It is. And her plan is much bigger than just the painting. She's focused on gaining the trust of the Contarini family, believing Bruno Contarini is responsible for the disappearance of someone named Alessandro.
So it's personal.
It seems that way. She's been subtly manipulating Renzo, messing with the drugs. Her plan is to expose him to Contarini as incompetent and disloyal.
That's a bold strategy.
It is. She's playing a dangerous game.
And what about Tom? Does he continue to follow Tia?
He tries to, but she's too smart for him.
What happens?
After seeing her at the Osteria, Tom tries to tail her discreetly, but she loses him by hopping into a water taxi.
She's good.
And then, as she's getting away, she turns around and looks right at Tom, making eye contact.
Oh.
And she pulls out her phone and takes a picture of him. It's a clear message.
She knows she's being watched.
She does. And she's not afraid to let them know she's onto them.
This raises the stakes considerably, and using Jack's tech skills, they're able to listen in on some of Tia's conversations.
Right, through her phone.
What do they hear that involves Ava?
They overhear this chilling conversation between Tia and an Albanian man named Arjun Kodra.
Okay.
And they're talking about Ava, but not in a way that's reassuring.
Oh no, what do I say?
Kodra sees Ava as a potential trafficking victim.
That's her.
A whole other level of danger that Jack hadn't even considered.
And what about Tia? What's her take on this?
Tia insists that Ava can't be harmed until she says so.
So she's still calling the shots.
And she wants a video of Ava. Kodra mentions another Albanian, Besnik.
This is getting more and more complicated.
Jack is furious and terrified, especially about the trafficking angle.
Of course.
It's a nightmare scenario.
And what about Ava?